Okay, so last week we gave the introduction to Birchas HaTorah. This week we're going to go through Birchas HaTorah. Just before we start, I want to just thank Rob for printing and sending out to those whose emails he had
the homeworks
that we've given out till now. Believe it or not, this is week 21 already. So, the first bracha in Birchas HaTorah. So we spoke about the fact that Klal Yisrael has a Kedushas HaGuf due to doing mitzvos, which is again the Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvosav that we do with our body. Therefore, Vitzivanu, Hashem commanded us to do this mitzvah that we're making the bracha on. We mentioned tefillah does not have a bracha, as the main aspect of tefillah is done with our minds, with kavana. So too, they bring, that's the reason the Haggadah has no bracha, because the main mitzvah is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not the Sipur, and therefore there's no bracha on it. However, learning Torah does require a Birchas HaMitzvah because an essential part of our learning is done through the speech, where we physically speak out the words of Torah, as it says, "Limadtem osam es b'neichem l'daber bam," that you should teach them to your children to discuss them. And this is therefore what we say, "La'asuk b'divrei Torah," and that we busy ourselves with the words of Torah, which infers to the talking of it. That the body and the mind are equal partners.
Doesn't tefillah also require speaking?
It's more secondary. The main aspect is the kavana. By learning, it's an equal aspect. Svardim say al divrei Torah. However, the Bach disagrees with this version and says we say lasok because divrei Torah is not enough. The main purpose of learning Torah is to learn how to do mitzvos. And therefore, the extended meaning of lasok is that we occupy our minds with Torah, expressing its learning through our words, and then implementing it into actual practice. The Taz explains the word lasok refers to the great amount of effort and hard work involved in learning. We overcome our laziness, our sleepiness, our limitations of our minds, other distractions that are all necessary for us to be able to learn. We overcome these, and that's the lasok. That's our first stage in learning, is overcoming these obstacles and difficulties which can get in the way. They ask, why didn't it say lilmod? We should learn Torah. Why lasok? So if Gifter once went to collect money in Mexico, and each time he went to a particular rich person's house, philanthropist, right? The individual was never home. Finally, if Gifter said, you know, I'm going to make an appointment at his office. And when they got together, the reshiva, he mentioned, he said, you know, you're never home. And the man said to him, he said, "Oy mir villain matzliach sein in a geschäft, darf mir liegen in die geschäft." Meaning, if one wants to be successful in an endeavor, one must be consumed by it. You have to be living in it. And this was a lesson Rav Gifter understood applies to Torah as well. To succeed in Torah, one must be consumed by it. And therefore, Chazal chose the word lasok, that we're busy, we're always involved in learning. The Yerabah explains, it says lasok, because the main rewards Hashem promised us are for the engrossing ourselves in Torah, which means, again, to toil and put effort into Torah. And he says this is evident from Rashi and Bichu Kosai, where the Torah promises us great rewards for following the Torah. And the parsha there says, in Bichu Kosai Telechu, if you follow my decrees, and Rashi there says, meaning if you toil in my Torah. So by toiling, then we get these great rewards, so the lasok is what brings to the great rewards. We then continue, and we hold, as opposed to there are those who say it's a separate bracha, but we hold it's a continuation. We say, V'ha'arev na Hashem elkeinu es divrei sarascha b'finu, that please Hashem, our God, sweeten the words of Torah in our mouths. And Rav Shimon Schwab explains that once we made an effort to apply ourselves to learning, we are now asking Hashem to make these words sweet to us. And he brings a mashal. He says, you're someone standing on the outside of a cold pool of water. He's reluctant to jump in. But once he makes that effort and he jumps in and broke the ice, he enjoys that water immensely. He says, learning is the same experience. It's difficult in the beginning. There are obstacles and we have to put in a lot of effort. But once we put in that lasok, once that hard work is expended, we then ask Hashem, now make it sweet and pleasant for us. And one of the benefits that we derive from learning Torah is that enjoyment of the learning, the cheshkas haTorah. And we ask that the words of Torah become sweet to our mouths, stressing, again, the physical aspect of the learning, that of actually saying the words of Torah. And therefore we say, Befinu, uvefi amcha beis Yisrael, in our mouths and in the mouths of all you people of Klal Yisrael. And we feel responsible not only for our own learning, but for the learning of others as well. And this is why We support yeshivos, Torah institutions, which is what we continue to say, v'ni anachnu v'tzetza einu v'tzetza amcha beis Yisrael. May we, our offspring, the offspring of your people, the house of Yisrael, that we're again expressing that responsibility for our learning, our children's learning, but also for the learning of Klal Yisrael and all their descendants. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that one who sees his son and grandson toiling in Torah can be certain that all of his descendants will study Torah. As it says in Yeshaya, Lo yemushu mipicha mipi zaracha mipi zera zaracha om Hashem miyata v'yad olam. So Poshib Shat is again, if you see the Torah that you learn, they learn, Torah will stay. Rashi explains, he says, if you see to it that Torah is not withheld from the mouths of your children and your children's children, then Hashem says will never move away from your family from this moment and forever. And the Mishneh Berurah therefore writes and says that parents therefore should frequently daven that their children should become Talmidei Chachamim, that they should become righteous, and that they should also therefore have good midos. And specifically, the three places in davening this comes up is in Avar Abba, here in Birchas HaTorah, and in Avolat Zion, we say Laman, Lo Niga, Lo Rik, Velo Neila LeBahola, that our investments in our children should not be made in vain. So in those three places specific, but all the time, we should daven for our children, and in this way, the Torah will not be withheld from them, and will stay within our families. We then continue and say, Kulonu Yodei Shemecha, all of us know your name. The El Yerab explains this bracha is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says, Nefesh Omel Omlolo Ki Ochal Olav Piyu, that the working spirit works for itself when its mouth humbles itself to it. And the Gemara explains, this means he works in this place, meaning the person's working here, and his Torah works for him in a different place, and Torah is working for him somewhere else. And Rashi explains, this refers to someone who's reviewing his Torah constantly until he's fluent in it. And then the Torah goes and pleads before Hashem to allow this person to know the hidden reasons as a reward for humbling his mouth to the Torah. And the Marsha adds that, and in that schus, then the secrets of Torah do become known to him. And the Yerab explains that when we ask Hashem to sweeten the words of Torah in our mouths, we're asking that we should become fluent in the Torah, and it should flow easily from our mouths, and it shouldn't be a burden to us. And then, if we accomplish this, we'll know your name. And the Zohar says the reason it's Yodei Shemecha is because Torah Shebiksav is made up of names of Hashem. And these are those secrets of Torah, so we're asking Hashem that we Yodei Shemecha, and then Lomdei Sarasecha, which refers to Torah Shebal Peh. And we're asking that we should be successful in learning and knowing all of your Torah. Now we say Lishma, however, if Shimon Schwab brings and says, based on the Torah, that the minig, I guess, by them was not to say Lishma, because not everybody reaches the level of Torah Lishma. However, he says, hopefully, mitoch shalo Lishma, bo Lishma, and that everyone will come to that, but it seems that the minig, I don't know if it's minig by all Yakis, or at least by him, was not to say that. However, we do say Lishma, and we're asking Hashem that our Torah learning should be altruistic. Right, so I guess that's why. So we're asking Hashem that we should study Torah for the sake of the learning, not that we should have a title like a Rav or a Rebbe, and certainly one who does study diligently will merit that kavod and respect, but that should not be the reason that we're learning the Torah. And then we end the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamalami Torah L'Amo Yisrael, one who teaches Torah to his nation, Klal Yisrael, and we talk about Hashem as our teacher, as our Rebbe. When one learns Torah L'Shem Shemayim and he puts in that effort to understand what he's learning, then Hashem helps, he comes to teach us and helps us understand it. And when one understands what he's learning, then we find that sweetness, that great joy in learning Torah, and that's where, again, the bracha started, that we're asking Hashem to help us find. So that's the first bracha in its, you know, fullness. We then move to the second bracha. And the Torah tells us that we're commanded to remember Hashem chose us from all the other nations. He brought us close to Har Sinai, gave us the Torah from the midst of a fire, which demonstrated to us the godliness and spirituality of the Torah. And we accomplish this remembering, we accomplish this by reciting this bracha, which makes clear the reference of the transmission of Torah from Hashem to his chosen nation, Klal Yisrael. And Rav Shimon Schwab says that Hashem selected us as the beneficiary of his gift of his Torah, which he didn't give anyone else. While the other nations also have laws, they have the Sheva Mitzvahs, the Noach, they have Derech Eretz as one of their mitzvahs, which is Kadmo LeTorah, they nevertheless were not given this special gift of Torah. With Matan Torah and all the ramifications, Klal Yisrael received not only just a book of laws, but Hashem infused in our neshama a special kedusha, and the Torah Hashem was put into our system as a gift by Hashem to elevate our nishmas Yisrael. And Rav Schwab continues and says, this is what Chazal mean when they tell us that when a Jewish baby is developing in the womb, there's a malach teaching a Torah, that when the child is born, he or she already is part of Klal Yisrael with this kedushas nishmas Yisrael. He already has that kedushas part of him, and that's why this bracha is called the Me'ula Sheba Brachos. It's the most elevated of the two Birchas HaTorah, because we're recognizing that uniqueness of this gift Hashem gave us, and that He infused our neshama with this kedusha, and that Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah was not the same Klal Yisrael as after Matan Torah, because their neshamas were infused with that kedusha of Torah at that moment. The Maral asks, and anyone who pays attention, it should be an obvious question, but I have to admit, I never thought of it. The Maral asks, he says, V'nosan lonu. We start the bracha and we say, in past tense, Hashem gave us the Torah. And then we say at the end of the bracha, Baruch Ta Hashem, nosin haTorah, Hashem is giving us the Torah, which is now in present tense. He says, what's the change of tense? It's either it happened, it's happening. So the Maral answers that the beginning of the bracha, Hashabach Harbanu, you chose us, V'nosan lonu, you gave us the Torah. Yes, that's past tense. It's referring to an event in the past when Hashem gave us the Torah at Matan Torah. But we have to realize that Hashem is constantly giving us the Torah every single day at the present moment, that we ourselves make it new by learning it and appreciating it in our own unique way, involving our own hearts and souls in that learning. And the Torah describes the voice of Matan Torah as Kol Gadol V'lo Yosaf. It's a great voice that never ends. It's eternal. The Torah is continuously being given. And even today, in our diminished state, we still have an integral portion in Torah. The Zohar tells us, the famous Chazal Yisrael is an acronym for Yeshishim Ribay Osios LaTorah, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah which correspond to the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. Each person has a letter that defines him and embodies his essence of who he is. Each of us possess our own unique share in the world of Torah. Each person's neshama can provide what no one else's neshama can. That means each of us can enhance the quality of Torah in our unique manner, different than Rashi, than Tosfos, than Rav Kiva Eiger. We have our aspect that we can add. The Kamonim tell us that not only are there chidushim that were revealed to the world thousands of years ago, there are chidushim that exist today that are meant to be revealed today at this time. And it says in Eicha, ties into the Tisha B'Av, it says, Chadoshim Labakarim. They are new every morning. And the Chidah explains this pasuk is talking about the new Chidushim that are meant to be revealed every day in Torah. And that's what the Novi was referring to. And that's what we're ending this bracha with, of Nosin HaTorah, that there's a constant giving on a daily basis. And there's always a moment for a new Chidush. If Shimshon Pinkus says, he says, we're saying this bracha for the actual Chefts of Torah, because Torah is what gives us the connection back to Hashem. And therefore, we have to say this bracha with simcha, a simcha of gratitude, that we have something that the Malachim wanted, a simcha that we're zocha to be part of the chosen nation. As the Gemara says, one cannot give Torah over to a goy. And a goy is allowed to keep mitzvos, the Gemara tells us, but he's not allowed to learn Torah to the point that a goy who learns Torah is chayiv misa. And therefore, we're saying, Hashabach Habonim Mikol Amim, we're zocha to this kesher and love from Hashem through his Torah. We then follow with Birchas Kohanim. Tosfos tells us one's required to learn right after you finish Birchas HaTorah from Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. And the old minig was that you said Parshas HaTamid, Ezeo Mekoman, and Rabbi Shmuel Omer. However, since one can get up in the middle of the night, and if he wanted to learn, would say Birchas HaTorah, and it's not yet the Zman HaKarbono, so therefore Chazal instituted Birchas Kohanim and Eil Dvarim in place to do that right following, right after the Birchas HaTorah. The Avodram says there's another reason we say Birchas Kohanim here, and that's because Chazal set up 3 aliyos during the week, 5 aliyos on Yontif, 7 aliyos on Shabbos, due to the number of words in each pasuk. As it says, Yivrech Hashem Vishmerecha, 3 words in the first pasuk, that was for the weekday. The second pasuk, Yar Hashem Panav Eilecha Vichunecha, has 5 words, which is correspondent to the Yontif. And the last one is Yisrael Hashem Panav Eilecha V'Yisemecha Shalom, which is 7 words, which is for Shabbos, and that's the connection of Birchas Kohanim back to Birchas HaTorah. What? Yeah, I don't know why. Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur, there are other times, yes. Another reason that Birchas Kohanim is brought is that the main connection of Birchas Kohanim and Birchas Torah is the second bracha. The first bracha refers to the physical and material blessing. As the Medrash tells us, Yivarecha Hashem be'osher v'yishmerecha min alistim. He should give us a bracha of wealth and protect us from someone taking it from us. The second bracha, the Medrash tells us, is Yar Hashem panav eilecha, she'yar einecha v'libcha b'torah v'yitein lecha banim b'nei b'torah. That he should enlighten us, our eyes, our hearts in Torah, and give us children that are b'nei Torah. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains that Vichuneka is a spiritual endowment or gift that we're asking that Hashem endow us with this gift of understanding Torah, and that is the connection of Birchas Kohanim to Birchas Torah. The Targum Yonason says the connection is that may Hashem illuminate His countenance to you when you toil in Torah, that He should reveal the secrets of Torah to you and have mercy on you. And we're asking Hashem that it be more than just a study of a subject. We want to get the gifts of real understanding, of real knowledge of Torah, and therefore, again, it's appropriate that we say it at this point. And the last bracha is a bracha of peace of mind that comes a result of having this relationship, this personal relationship with Hashem. A person then has shalom, has peace of mind. We then say Eil Dvarim. So the first part of Eil Dvarim counts as the Mishnah. And it's chosen here because it says the words Talmud Torah in it. And Shimon Schwab points out that it says Talmud Torah, not Limud Torah, because Talmud Torah stresses a Rebbe-Talmud relationship, which is how Torah is transmitted. But he points out that even someone who doesn't have a Rebbe, therefore is not putter from learning, but he has to learn Torah anyway, but the best transmission of Torah is a Rebbe and a Talmud. The second part of Eil Dvarim is the Gemara, as it's a Braisa, and the Braisas are brought only in the Gemara. And again, we say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and that's the reason we chose that Braisa. Now, the reason we have Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara is because, as the Gemara tells us, a person is supposed to divide up the years of his life into three parts, spending one-third learning Mikra, one-third Mishnah, one-third Gemara, and therefore, immediately following Birchas HaTorah, we're splitting up in thirds, doing something from the Mikra, something from the Mishnah, and something from the Gemara. In Eil Dvarim, we mention Iyun Tefillah, which simply means that we're learning the Pirush HaTefillah, we're understanding what Tefillah is. However, if you look at the Braisa that it's being listed in, it's a Braisa of Chesed. One aspect after the other there are all about Chesed. There's nothing about the individual himself. And they bring the reason Iyun Tefillah is listed in this Braisa of Chesed is because of the aspect where we, once we know what davening is, we daven for others. And in that way, we get the Peros in this world and the Keren L'Olam Haba. Because as Chazal tell us, Kol Mavakish Rachmim Al Chaveiro V'Utzarech Lo Sudava Hu Nen Etchila. So therefore, by davening for someone else, you get those payros because you get answered here, and then you get the reward in the next world. Now, before I close with the story and the homework, I'm going to try to say over something that my father mentioned. It's really for the end of Shemoneh Esrei, but it has to do with Inyana Diyoma, with Tisha B'Av around the corner. At the end of Shemoneh Esrei, after we went through so many bakashos, we then have a hiratzon. And the hiratzon, we say, she'yibane beis hamigdash. And the question that's raised is, what's going on here? We already said, Yerushalayim, we've already asked. All of a sudden, out of everything, we say, she'yibane beis hamigdash, it seems out of place here. So, I believe the answer was that, basically, we're talking to Hashem. We're saying, you know what, Hashem, I have a chola. Hashem says, I'll get you the best doctor. Hashem, I need parnasa, baruch aleinu. I'll take care of that too. I have a veros, I'll take care of that. And we go through step by step, and we ask for the Beis HaMikdash, Rivu Shalayim, Estemach David, and we're asking. But when a person leaves at the end of talking to their father, they'll always come back to what's the main thing. I was saying, Hashem, the main thing I'm asking from you, Sheibane Beis HaMikdash, that's the main thing I need from you. Everything else, I could use, but Sheibane Beis HaMikdash is the ikker, and as we're coming to Tisha B'Av, we just to have that in mind, that we Lamaisa are missing as we're already on Zion of, we're missing the Beis HaMikdash, and we have to just ask Hashem, with everything along that we have in life, but that the Beis HaMikdash, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is the most important and something that we should be zochet to, maybe still in the next 36 hours, but as soon as possible to have the Beis HaMikdash back. So to close with our story. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was told by the doctor that he had to take daily walks for his health. And Reb Shua Oza Halperin who's from Manchester. So he was a Talmud that used to accompany Rav Chaim on these walks. And his Rebbetzin told him, he says, you know, he takes these walks 5:30 in the morning. You know, he doesn't want a bacher to get up so early. And Yeshua Ozer said, I get up early anyway. You know, I have a chavrusa normally then. I'll rearrange my schedule. It's not a problem. He says, you know, the yeshiva can't walk near the yeshiva. The streets in Beis Yisrael, they're too hilly. It's too hard. So he said, it's also not a problem. He says, my uncle has an old car in Beit Vegan. He says, I can borrow it so I can drive the yeshiva anywhere he wants to walk. And sure enough, over the next, you know, couple of weeks, the Rebbe and Yeshua, they scouted some parks in Yerushalayim. So they found some places where he can walk and benches to rest. And they decided on Gan HaAtzmaut, behind the Plaza Hotel. And every morning at 5 o'clock, he would get up, meet the yeshiva. They'd go walking for a half hour. And he was helped to build a bond. One day, Reb Chaim asked Yeshua Ozer, he says, take me to Kever Rachel. He said, sure. And they went out, to Kever Rachel. And on the way, Reb Chaim started thinking about all the people that are sick, that are, you know, childless, that are financially troubled. And he started to cry. And first it was a soft cry. And then he started to cry uncontrollably. And as he entered into the hallway of Kever Rachel, he tried to muffle the cry. And as he approached the Kever itself, he said, Mama, Chaimka's da, Chaimka's here. And as his eyes welled with tears, he said over the Tehillim, and he mentioned all the people. And then he called out in Yiddish, he said, the Rabboni Shalom hat dir gesagt, Mama, zolt nit veinen, aber ich Chaimka zog vein, Mama, vein. He said, Hashem said to you, Mother, don't cry, but I, Chaimka, say to you, cry, Mother, cry. And that's where the famous song today comes from, where Reb Chaim asked Rachel to go back to Hashem and to cry. And this Talmud asked on the way back to Yerushalayim, he said to Reb Chaim, he said, if Hashem told Rachel not to cry, how can the Reshiva say to cry? It sounds like you're going against Hashem. And Reb Chaim answered, he said, a father can tell a daughter not to cry, but a son can tell a mother that she should cry. And therefore he felt that it was okay. And again, in Yona Diyoma, that, you know, we have to cry and realize what we're missing and saying, you know, and ask, you know, to get the Beis HaMikdash back. Now, just to close with the homework is to try to focus at least once during the week as you go through the Birchas HaTorah and the Birchas Kohanim and El Devarim on what we're saying and appreciate the Bakashas we're saying and do it B'Simcha and what's going on, you know, through the entire process.